Hey, if you're a regular listener, then you know that this episode is the fifth in a row where my guest is Eric Person. And Eric's a great old friend. He if you listen to him in this podcast, listen to the way that he hears the music and the way how generous he is sharing his opinions about it and everything, that very specific thing in Eric was a big part of what inspired me to start doing the show. I'm Mitch Goldman, the host of Deep Focus, and Eric's been my most frequent guest, and this is what I love. I love doing this for you guys. We, you know, it's all just free. We're just giving it all away, and you know, I'm just kind of hoping that it gives listeners some new ways of hearing the music and appreciating how much is going on. That's what I get out of it, talking to musicians about this. This is stuff that, you know, musicians talk about with one another. So we're all getting to be fans together, fellow fans with the artists. Hopefully it's a new way to meet them and understand them and appreciate them. And you should certainly, I hope, dig Eric. If you haven't yet, you will by the time the show's over. You're going to want to go to his website, ericperson.com, ericperson, and you can find out. Well, hopefully the day's going to come soon when we're back going to live music performances, and Eric's will be among them. He's toured all over the world. He's played with many of your favorite artists, and that website, you'll find all kinds of great stuff, including recordings that he has written and produced and played on and put the band together for and all kinds of other things. And he's somebody you want to keep in touch with. You can also follow along with us. Come check us out on Instagram. It's Deep Focus Podcast. And let's listen to part two. There's only two parts of this episode. Don't ask me why. That's just how it is. It's and this is part two. So enjoy. This is September of 2011, my guest Eric Person, the topic, McCoy Tyner. It's Deep Focus. McCoy Tyner. And beautiful. We got, I was saying, we got a little, a couple little themes working here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Prelude to a Kiss.
Yeah, we had some Duke Ellington, Prelude to a Kiss, and we had Caravan earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Monk, two songs with Monk. And matter of fact, the music that we're about to feature, McCoy does a version of In a Sentimental Mood too. So
it's yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that comes through, you spend some time with his discography, with his live recordings, with going out and hearing him play, mm-hmm. is this fantastic studenthood of the music. You know, I mean, his mm-hmm. his knowledge of the great composers is
yeah.
Despite the fact that you know, we're accustomed to hearing him playing his own stuff, but
but that goes back to what I was saying about those records in the 60s. You know, like he played a record of Duke Ellington. I mean, so him playing still, you know, 20 years later, you know, Duke Ellington songs shows that those are heartfelt, you know, decisions to play
And
feature his music, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I loved hearing those two guys play together on that Monk tune, and they both really are living and breathing that song, I felt.
You're talking about Arthur.
Yes, and, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, you know, Arthur has a different thing happening, and I feel, you know, that Arthur's one of the great voices. I mean, maybe one of the last great or the latest great voice from, you know, a few years, you know. I mean, he out here in New York, made a big splash.
Yeah.
I remember because, you know, he started with Chico Hamilton just like me. And I remember picking up one of his records because, you know, we were all big into going to the record store. And I remember picking up one of his records and, you know, how they have the little sticker that, you know, might say like Grammy Award winner or whatever. But it said like, I remember it said like the new bird and train of New York. I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, I thought that was a wild and strange thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it put focus on not only his.
I mean, I'm not in any way dismissing how great Arthur Blythe is.
No, I mean,
but that's a bizarre thing to put on a record.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, but I think maybe that was what some critics said.
Right, right, right. No doubt.
But for me, you know, I guess, you know, living in St. Louis and, you know, New York was getting big in my head, you know, so it was like when I read that, it was just like, whoa, that's the place to be. That, I mean, you know, it's like not the St. Louis thing. So it was just like, I got in, you know, checking out Arthur's music more and more, you know, over the years. But, you know, I mean, he's a great, great voice.
Yeah. One of the cool things about hearing that and listening to that album, Light Blue, that was this mm-hmm. time that you're talking about, he was on Columbia Records, which was kind of the only major label with a serious jazz department at that time. And it was a big deal that he was on there. Yeah. And one of the albums that he released, Light Blue, was all Thelonious Monk compositions. And hearing Arthur Blythe, who had such a distinctive sound, and his group had a distinctive sound, and you're used to hearing them play his compositions, and now they're playing these familiar Monk compositions, and they still have that sound, and realizing how well that fits with Arthur Blythe's concept, and mm-hmm. what a good job they did with that. And so that was at the time that he was doing that, and that Ruby, My Dear, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up for a second and say, this is WKCR-FM New York. I'm Mitch Goldman. The program Jazz Alternatives, that airs each weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m., is getting a special shave and haircut tonight in the form of Deep Focus, this program that we do, and matching a great musician up with the recorded history of another great musician. And Eric Person tonight is diving deep with me into the music of McCoy Tyner. And we've had, I hope you're not just tuning in, because we've had some great stuff. These are live recordings from the KCR archives that are never released, not something you're going to hear probably anyplace else. We've heard mm-hmm. A fantastic live set from Italy from 1986. we had that really special show from Washington, D.C., duet yeah. with Arthur Blythe from 1982. And we're going to go in another very different direction.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, you know, what it is the McCoy Tyner Sextet from November 8th, 1975, a performance at the Berliner Jazztage in Berlin, Germany, festival there. And the thing that's hip, you know, is the first song is called Mole for Dulcimer, and that's the song that's also opens his CD called Focal Point. And so the tenor saxophonist, soprano saxophonist, when I was first listening to this, I thought it was Azar Lawrence. Because I didn't have, like you have the notes that you gave
oh,
to me.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I should have given you the notes.
Yeah, so I was listening to it. I was like, okay, that's Joe Ford. Yeah, that's Joe Ford. I know his playing. I know his sound and everything. And the saxophonist, I thought it was Azar Lawrence. And, yeah, Charles Fambro on bass, Eric Gravatt. These are all the guys. And Guilherme Franco, percussionist and dulcimer. These are all guys that's on that record.
Now, for some reason, those notes credit Guilherme Franco as the dulcimer player. It's got to be McCoy playing the dulcimer, doesn't it?
No. It's him. It's him on the record, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big surprise.
Yeah. So, yeah, this first song is called Mode for Dulcimer. And then they do In a Sentimental Mood and then Fly with the Wind. But interesting because Ron Bridgewater, that's Cecil's brother.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never seen him play. So this is, I never knew his playing except from that record, the Focal Point, and this recording. So. Yeah, I think I don't know his story too much. I think he might teach or something like that. I believe he's still around. But yeah.
Let's go to Berlin, 1975. McCoy Tyner, Mode for Dulcimer on WKCR. Thank you. Coy Tyner, 1975 in Berlin. A rare, truly, truly rare recording from the WKCR archives. And that's kind of what the show's about, Deep Focus. Eric Person, our guest, and we are exploring McCoy Tyner's music. We talked a little bit about that piece. Maybe you want to catch people up on what it was?
Yeah, that was called Mode for Dulcimer, and that's McCoy Tyner Sextet with Ron Bridgewater on soprano saxophone, Joe Ford on alto saxophone, McCoy Tyner piano, Charles Fambro bass, Eric Gravatt on drums, and Gil Hermy Franco on percussion and dulcimer.
And we were having a little discussion about that. I think that might be McCoy playing the dulcimer, because there's no piano while the dulcimer is playing, but there is percussion. And dulcimer is there's a hammered dulcimer, which is a string instrument. It's like a percussion instrument. It's kind of like if you played a piano keyboard with mallets.
Mm.
Interestingly, it's got that. One of the cool things, there's a lot of really interesting things about this piece and this band, I could say. It's interesting. We were talking about it that, it was very common having a percussionist in the band. Miles Davis had a percussionist in the band at that time. But McCoy Tyner actually sounds like he's exploring tonalities and rhythms of different traditional ethnic musics.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, McCoy was delving in a deep way in just a different place. You know, he was kind of taking jazz per se into a different place. You know, Miles, I think, you know, for the 70s or whatever, he was delving into taking, you know, jazz, even though he wouldn't want you to call it jazz and all that stuff, but he was taking his music into the place where, you know, rock and funk met, you know, with jazz harmonies, jazz improv and all that stuff, and jazz space notes and all that stuff. And with this, you hear McCoy basically kind of delving into a place where jazz meets like a whole nother world, the third world, Africa, the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And this dulcimer kind of plays into a nice kind of sound, Easternish sound in there, you know.
But he's twang. McCoy still got his sound, and he did that very intense, you know, real, like, both hands working.
Oh, yeah.
And the piano becomes a whole orchestra.
Yeah.
And, it's a very, very interesting direction. It made me think of things that Don Cherry was doing at that time and people who were interested in some of the things that he was pursuing. And also, I think this has been a very contemporary idea in the last 10 years, too, for a lot of people in New York and all over the world, really. But, it's very exciting to me, and it's not something that most people, I don't think, associate with McCoy Tyner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really look at McCoy's discography, you know, because we were talking off the mic, and this band basically is the band that's on that record Focal Point, and McCoy's music was probably really heading this way. You know, like when you look at a record like Expansions, where he had Alice Coltrane playing the harp, you know, and so that if you see an antecedent to this, it would be maybe in a record like that. And then, you know, it's just kind of heading towards this kind of Middle Eastern jazz.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which is, it's great. I mean, it's still rich
fresh.
Mind to pursue.
It's
absolutely.
Fresh. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's fresh and it's rhythmic. It's very rhythmic. And you're not getting that swing in there, you know, like, you know, the thing about critics. Don't get me started.
Go on.
Many critics, and I'm not, I can't, you know, talk about the critics that are good here, but the thing is, so many critics that are lazy, they like to like put everything into this like hard bop thing, you know, like if they hear swing, then it's hard bop. No, doesn't even too much matter what's on top of it, but the good thing about this music is that it doesn't have any swing rhythm.
Yeah.
So it's a statement. It's a statement that this is a different music. This is going somewhere else. And that's what, to me, makes it fresh even, you know, 30, 35 so years later, you know.
Yeah, it's funny in the way that these ideas intersect. 2 weeks ago, we had a deep focus. Vernon Reed was here. We were playing Weather Report from this exact same period. And I did a lot of reading about Weather Report, which is another band that I love. And reading about what that band sprang out of and the creative force between Joe Zawinul and Wayne Shorter and Miroslav Vitus in the beginning, that they what they didn't want to do, they didn't want to play those swing rhythms. They didn't want to play like head, solo, 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 head, almost as much as what they did want to do. And the way those ideas fit together and imagining, I'm kind of conjecturing here what might have been going through McCoy Tyner's head at that point in his life, but wanting to explore, wanting to take those restrictions away. And what do you have? What do you have when you take, you know, when you take all the furniture out of the room? What's there?
That brings up a whole interesting conversation about a lot of things, you know, because you know, some musicians try and get away from that whole thing of, you know, emphasizing swing, you know, 4/4 time swing and all that stuff, you know, by playing, you know, many of their songs or all their songs in odd meters, you know, 5/4, 7/4, 9/4, 11/4, whatever. And I think a progressive musician has to decide how he's going to take on that, you know, debate, you know, by rooting yourself with swing rhythms, you know, 4/4 time swing, ding, 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 ding. That's it's like an anchor. In certain ways, it's an anchor. It's almost like you can put anything on top of it, and it's all going to be, those critics are going to just going to say it's just hard bop, baby.
Not the ones that like it. They won't complain.
They're smarter about it. I mean, like, if you can, like, put some different stuff on it and make a personal statement, I think that it should stand in it on its own, you know. But I think like I say, just looking at being a progressive musician, you know, if you consider yourself that or you want to be a musician that tries to, you know, take the music further, or not even the music, it's your music, you know, taking your music further. You have to look at, you know, getting away from that. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
So thinking about it in those terms, how do you think McCoy's doing in 1975?
I think he was always doing great. I mean, because he's had some, you know, just his music has always had an edge to me, you know, because of that open harmonies, the modality, you know, his two-fisted way of playing and moving the tonalities around, you know, in and out, in and out. And so I always got a lot of out of his music in that it was always progressive.
So in this period of time, this band, this date in particular,
it's smoking.
It is, isn't it? You know, this band worked a lot. Mm-hmm. These guys, you know, it wasn't just they went in the studio and then there were a couple of hits. They did this live a bunch. And I've got other recordings of them, too, that they're all over the States, all over Europe, over 75, 76, this concept was put out there a lot. So he must have been excited about it. And he must have gotten some traction with the audience with it.
The thing is, what's interesting for me is that the band that came right after this was the band with George Adams.
Oh, yes.
George Adams, Joe Ford, Charles Fambro, Sonship on drums, and then and Gil Hermy. So, I mean, that recording called The Greeting, which was done at the Great American Music Hall, That's a fantastic, you know, just statement, you know. And so it's different than this, but this kind of leads into that. It's dynamic music, you know.
So where do they go next in this set?
So they're doing In a Sentimental Mood. Now, I believe it's going to be McCoy doing a solo piano version of In a Sentimental Mood. And then they do Fly with the Wind, which is not a complete version, but I believe that'll be the whole band then.
We are listening to a magical archival recording of McCoy Tyner Sextet Berlin 1975 on Deep Focus on WKCR. Wow. Not just an explosion of applause in Berlin in 1975, but what to me is an extra special measure of enthusiasm for a band when there's that just moment of complete hushed silence at the end of the piece.
Yeah.
And then the rush.
I really, I mean, because I played with McCoy's big band some, and I always dug when he told us to get off the stage and that he was going to play those ballads. I mean, that was just, I mean, I wasn't going to the bathroom or going outside or smoking a cigarette, although I don't smoke, but I wanted to hear what he was doing, and it was always great. And one thing I always dug about this period in particular, the way he plays some ballads. I mean, because on that record I mentioned earlier, The Greeting, he plays Naima, and I feel it's like a very avant-garde version of Naima, and he does that here. It's really avant-garde. Oh,
we misannounced.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's clear this up now. That was My One and Only Love, not In a Sentimental Mood, and not a solo for sure, because that was Ron Bridgewater, but that was My One and Only Love. So,
isn't that on the album Coltrane did with Johnny Hartman?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so another connection of
look back.
Yeah. But that was really beautiful. And you know what? I think Ronnie Bridgewater deserves special acknowledgement. That was fantastic.
He sounded great. He has great presence and warmth, depth to his sound. He sounded great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really beautiful. And I completely agree with you that I don't know if it's the first thing people think of with McCoy. You know, I think that that big sound, that two-handed approach, his like mighty, mighty left hand, I think are some of the first things people tend to think of. But he, when you're exactly right, which he usually does in a set when he really lays into a ballad, it's beautiful. He just really breathes it.
Yeah, definitely.
Eric, man, this time has been flying by. Let me let everybody know, if you're just tuning in, this is, of course, WKCR FM New York, and my name is Mitch Goldman. Jazz Alternatives airs from 6 to 9 p.m. every weeknight, and this special program that we do from time to time is called Deep Focus, and our guest tonight has been Eric Person, the great saxophonist, occasional flutist.
Flautist.
And flautist. Band leader, composer, historian, archivist, arranger.
Yeah.
And we've been having a fantastic time. I really hope you didn't just tune in to hear the last few seconds of McCoy Tyner's music. These are live recordings that come to you from the WKCR archives. They are not anything you're going to find in your friendly neighborhood record store, or as if there are too many of those around, or even your friendly neighborhood radio station. They're here, and not too many other places. So,
well, maybe if they send us a few dollars, we'll have a copy.
Do you have that PayPal account?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, don't miss the opportunity to visit Eric at ericperson.com. www.ericperson.com.
Like I said, I'll be out in California September 30th in the Los Angeles area at the Santa Monica Community College doing two sets on that date, 7 to 9 p.m. or something around there. And I got a new CD out, my latest CD called The Grand Illusion. Check that out. I'll be also in Europe doing some dates, 7th, 8th, and 11th in Belgium. So look me up. Go to my website, and hope to see you there.
Who are you playing with at on those Belgium dates?
Yeah, I have a European version of Metaphor, and Chris Uris, who I've recorded and played in his group, he's going to be the percussionist. Flay Dressmeyer on piano, great piano player. Axel Gallant, I think that's how you pronounce it, on bass. And I have a different, a new drummer. I don't even remember his name.
Well, you're going to find out.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great group. So yeah, hope to see you, you Belgian people over there. Look us up.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you've been another of your pursuits, not too intentional little pun there, but is bicycle racing. Is that something you've been doing lately?
Oh, no. I'm on my bike. Yeah, yeah. I still, you know, when I get on my bike, I, you know, just train like I was going to race, you know, but I haven't done races in years. I'm trying to focus on this music and get this music out so I can.
But what happens when you see somebody in front of you?
Oh, don't even go there. Bike. It's just like I'm just trying to pass them for sure. But
who usually wins?
Oh, me. Yeah. Bicycle jousting.
Indeed. Yeah. What are you riding these days?
Oh, same thing. I got a Le Mans racing bike, Dura Ace components.
Nice.
People will be like, what is that?
Nice. Now, what if some of the fans want to ride with you? Can they ride with you?
Yeah, why not, you know?
Find you through the website, ericperson.com?
No, just meet me in Prospect Park.
Great place to ride.
Yeah.
Well, it has been a real joy hanging out with you, Eric. I really is always tons of fun. Yeah. But when we get to do this and listen to some genius music that yeah. nobody's ever heard, and we find some revelations like we did tonight, yeah. it is the greatest joy, man.
For me, what I love so much about these is that, you know, this is the music that inspired me to be a musician, to be a progressive musician, to look forward in the music instead of being a regressive musician. You know, that's what the music is to me. So, I mean, you could play a standard, but it's not about playing regressively. You know, it's about taking your music to another place. It's not about taking jazz to another place. You know, jazz is the music in you. That's what you want to bring out and bring it to another place and keep taking it higher. That's what it's about. You know, it's not about genres. It's not about styles. It's about you. It's about your spirit. And these are the musicians, the Joe Henderson's, the McCoy Tyners, the Arthur Blythes, who gave me that inspiration and knowledge of, you know, self in a sense, you know.
Those are the words of Eric Person. Check out his music. Go and see him live. Get his records. Go to www.ericperson.com. My name is Mitch Goldman. This has been Deep Focus, and you are listening to WKCR FM New York. Keep it tuned for Youth Mike.